show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes. With Wallace Eaton, Alma Kogan, June Whitfield, and the keynotes, all inviting you to...
It's no good, Bentley. I'm giving up. 6 weeks I've been paying court to June Whitfield, and I'm no nearer success than when I started. I'm packing in this romance stuff. I'm going back to beer.
Jimmy, you mustn't be so defeatist. Look, Jimmy, I hope you don't mind taking advice from a younger man, but... Well, to start with, June is a woman.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I got that far.
Please, Jimmy. And women... Well, they are my province. It just happens that I have an effect on them. Now, I realize that you haven't got my debonair charm, but then... Who has?
Well, whoever it is, you want to get it back.
Look, the point is, Jimmy, you've made your devotion too obvious.
Oh.
You wear your heart on your sleeve, you see, alongside the gravy stain.
I see, you think I should play hard to get.
Oh, yes.
Cultivate a touch of mystery.
Tip.
The new remote suave, Jim. I must say, I rather fancy the idea. What do?
Try and get a sort of mocking look in your eyes. Let a half-insolent smile play round the corners of your mouth.
Just a minute. How's that?
Yes, I shouldn't let it play too near the bushes.
No, it won't work, Ben. It just makes me feel a bit of a Charlie.
I bet you it will work. I bet you half a crown.
I bet you half a crown it doesn't.
Well, we'll soon see. Look, quick, put your half-insolent smile back on again. June's coming over here.
I say, Jimmy. Oh, excuse me, but I just had to come over because of the way your face is gone. Have you got toothache?
Bentley, who is this? Isn't it that child who's so clever with her voice?
Oh, Jimmy, don't say you don't know me. You've been practically battering my dressing room door down for 6 weeks.
Oh, one batters down so many doors.
Do you, Jimmy? Oh. Well, if you feel like any more door work, mine might not be locked next time.
There you are, Jimmy. It worked. Half a crown, please. Jimmy, half a crown.
I say, aren't you that amusing fellow who almost seems...
Oh, no, you don't. Don't you come that suave stuff with me. Give me the half crown.
Oh,
come on.
I've been asked for money by so many people.
Look, it's me, Dick Biggin. Now, come off it. I want my half a crown.
First I'm sighing, cause I love you, then I'm crying, cause I love you, sighing, crying, that's the way love goes. Nights of sadness, cause I love you, nights of gladness, cause I love you, sadness, gladness, that's the way love goes. My heart starts in palpitating when you're close to me. Why is love so aggravating? It's a mystery. First we break up, cause I love you, then we make up, cause I love you, break up, make up, ask a girl who knows. First we break up, then we make up, nights of sadness, nights of gladness, crying, sighing, that's the way love goes. First I'm sighing, cause I love you, then I'm crying, cause I love you, sighing, crying, that's the way love goes. Nights of sadness, cause I love ya. Nights of gladness, cause I love ya. Sadness, gladness, that's the way love goes. My heart starts in palpitating when you're close to me. Why is love so aggravating? It's a mystery. First we break up, cause I love ya, then we make up, cause I love you, break up, make up, ask a girl who knows. That's just the way love goes.
butcher, Jim. I've just been up Hatton Garden buying the wife a jewelled wristwatch with 360 diamonds, 78 rubies, 44 sapphires and a dirty great emerald. Oh, Jim, when you're rich, time hangs heavy on your hands.
Well, 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 it's dreadfully wealthy, Wal. You look a bit downcast today, Wal.
Oh, bit of trouble at home, Jim. The missus. Know what? She broke down and confessed this morning. She confessed right in the middle of vacuum cleaning the Rembrandt. Jim, she says she don't like being rich.
She doesn't like being rich? Oh, what? She's probably got a guilt complex.
That's very likely. I know she's got a guilt dressing table. But she was in a state. She kept saying she'd give all our money to be back in the buildings with the dirt and the muck and the Edwards family.
But Wallace, your wife, now lives in absolute splendour, having servants waiting on her hand and foot.
She don't like him, Mr. B. Yeah? Especially that butler. She says he gives her the creeps. It's his black suit, you see. Where we come from, the only people who wear black suits is undertakers.
I see what you mean.
She gets the horrors every time he says, "Shall I arrange the flowers for madam?" Another thing she's not used to is all the dressing up as rich people have to do. She says it strangles her having to wear a corset on weekdays.
Oh, poor thing. She's only a build in a girdled cane.
Yeah. Well, money brings many problems. Yeah. Dunners will name you another one, won't you, lad?
Yes, sir. It's this question of stars in show business who, to regulate their finances, turn themselves into limited companies. And to illustrate, let us attend a stormy shareholders' meeting of Jimmy Edwards Limited.
Well, I think the most stringent inquiry is called...
All right, order. Order, please. As managing director, may I explain that Jimmy Edwards Limited is a company formed to exploit a public utility known as Jim. You have only to look at our product to appreciate that Jim is expanding.
Well... I tell you this, it's not good enough. I hold 484 shares in Jimmy Edwards Limited. I bought them against my broker's advice. Too speculative, he said.
I rely on the 75 shares of Jimmy Edwards Limited my husband bought before he died. Now I'm a widow. All that keeps me going is the little bit of interest I get from Jim.
Madam, there are widows all over the country who look forward to the same thing.
But there are plenty of other good firms we can put our money in.
Agreed, Mr. Wentworth. But you are forgetting one thing. The biggest asset of Jimmy Edwards Limited.
Yes, Mr. Wentworth, the Rock of Gibraltar upon which the firm was founded. Our trademark, our beacon, our moustache. Has that convinced you, Mr. Wentworth? May I proceed to approve the accounts by affixing the company seal?
Of course you may. I had forgotten the moustache. As far as I'm concerned, while you have that, you are the company seal.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, 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 Mr. Wentworth. Now, I'll just get this from inside my desk. And, here it is. Ow! Oh, that's done it! We're bankrupt! We're ruined!
What happened?
I've caught me asset in the drawer!
At this point, ladies and gentlemen, we had rather got in the habit of going round to the home of the Glum family. Tonight we're not doing that. The house is dark, empty, and locked up. What's happened to the Glums? They've gone to the pictures.
Queuing all parts, all parts. Queuing outside, now seats till 8:40.
Oh, Ron. And we've already been queuing for an hour and a quarter in this rain. Oh, well, I suppose we may as well wait till 8:40 now. Don't you, Ron?
No, eh? I don't think my peanuts will last.
Ron, you are a silly not to have brought your Mac.
I did, eh? It's over my bicycle.
But why did you leave it there, sweetheart?
I don't like riding home on a wet seat, eh? It gives me a despondent feeling.
One single. Anybody want a single? One, two, and four, sir?
Ron, he's talking to you.
You, sir. One, two, and four.
Well, go on, answer him, Ron.
I'm just working it out, eh?
Come on, sir. One, two, and four.
Seven.
Good.
Oh, Ron. It wasn't a Sam, Ron. He had one seat. You could have gone in.
No, Eth, it's no pleasure for me to go to the pictures if you're not sitting next to me.
Oh, sweetheart.
On my own, I can never find that little hole in the orangeade carton for me straw to go in.
Oh, darling Ron, it looks like they're starting to come out. Oh, no. It's only one man coming out. Oh, look. He's being carried by four attendants.
Put me down. I say, I'll have a lot of you for assault. Accusing a gentleman of my position of sneaking in through a rear door.
It's Mr. Glum.
I merely entered the cinema to inform the manager someone had prized open his exit door.
You sat down in the 4 and 6 seat.
I come over faint. Ah, then, let me go. I should say so, that's better. Now, give me back my tire lever.
Mr. Glum.
Hello. You trying to get into the pictures and all, eh? Well, now, seeing as how you two are well placed in the 2 and 4 queue, I think I'll join you. Excuse me, sir. Would you mind making the space for me? All right.
We've been standing here for hours.
Get the back.
I shall do no such thing. I know me rights. My son here and his fiancée, they've been reserving this place for me. Haven't you, Ron?
No, Dad.
Cool. Where's that tire lever?
Oh, no, Mr. Glum, look, they're coming out. Oh, they're letting the 1 and 9s in.
The 1 and 9s? What? F, they're letting them 1 and 9 yobs in before us upper classes.
Oh, I know, but Mr. Glum, there's no...
It's a scandal. A pack of ruddy communists, that's all. Ron, you nip over and get on that 1 and 9 queue. And if you get to the pay box before us, give a shout. We'll come and join you.
Righto, Dad.
That's better. We've got to organise, F, you see.
Yes. I didn't know you ever went to the pictures, Mr. Glum.
Well, in a manner of speaking, I don't, you see. But I was looking at Mrs. Glum tonight and I thought, it's ages since her and me went out together. So here we are.
Oh, but I don't see Mrs. Glum.
No, well, I shoved her in the ninepenny queue, you see. No sense in throwing money away. She's round the corner in the rain. But she's still within earshot, I think. Mama! Here! See you leave the cinema well before the picture ends so you can get my cup of tea waiting for me when I come home. Well, I'll tell you in bed how it ends. Selfish old A-bag.
Dad, quick.
Quick, Eth, Ron's signalling.
Yes.
Come on, belt across to the 1 and 9s queue. Excuse me. Oh, well, here we are, Ron.
Oh, the 1 and 9's going in then, Ron.
I don't know, Eth.
Well, why did you call us out the 2 and 4s?
Look, I found a peanut with 3 nuts in it.
Oh. Wrong.
Look, one is in the top compartment, one in the bottom compartment, and a little baby one in the middle.
Wrong. Well, quick, Mr. Glum, we'd better dash back to the 2 and 4 queue. Come on.
No more 2 and 4s. 2 and 4s, pull up.
They're all gone now. We'll just have to stay here in the 1 and 9 queue, that's all.
No more 1 and 9.
Eh?
1 and 9s, pull up.
Oh, wouldn't that rot you? Oh, well, the only thing for us to do is to join Mrs. Glum in the ninepenny queue.
She just went in, Mr. Glum.
Hey!
She waved.
No more ninepenny seats tonight. No more waiting now. No more seats at any price.
Oh, that's clever, isn't it, eh? That's very nice. That's marvellous. That's marvellous, that is. A fine evening out this has turned out to be.
Oh, well, at least Mrs. Glum got in.
That's true, Eth. Well, come to think of it, I suppose that is the one thing I got to console myself with.
What, Dad?
She don't know it yet, but she's already seen the picture before.
Oh, my dear,
will wear white, Jenny Jenkins.
I won't wear white, cause the color's too bright. I'll buy me a phony, roly, tilly, toady, sing a double, use a cause a roll, the fine me.
Roll, Jenny Jenkins, roll. Will you wear red, oh my dear, oh my dear? Oh, will you wear blue, Jenny Jenkins?
I won't wear blue, cause the color's too true.
Then will you wear purple, oh my dear, oh my dear? Will you wear purple, Jenny Jenkins?
I won't wear purple, it's the color of a turtle. I'll buy me a phony, roly, tilly, tolly, suit a double, use a cause a row, to find me.
Brandies and soda, please. I say, Edwards, all this horror comic business, so on. What's wrong with the youth of today? I think the young lads of today extraordinary lot. Well, don't you, Bentley?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. We're just precocious.
But if your grace is really interested in wayward youth, we'll give you a typical case history.
Right.
Stand by, man. A bit of heavy acting coming up. I'm the probation officer at a magistrate's court in central London. In my work, I have a lot to do with teenagers, and I know it's a difficult age. They're not quite men, and they're not really boys, especially the girls. Let me tell you of one case, a boy whom I shall refer to as Tom. In accordance with legal ethics, I am not allowed to disclose his surname. His mother, Mrs. Figgins, was with him... was with him that day he faced a magistrate for sentence.
Tom, before I pass sentence, is there anything you wish to say?
I just want to say so I never had a chance. The police had their knife in me from the start. Just because I was found with a stolen loudspeaker up me pullover, does that make me a receiver?
I'm sorry, Tom, there is only one course I can take.
Oh, no, sir. Don't send my Tom to the Nick, sir.
One moment, madam. You are the boy's maternal parent.
Oh, no, sir. I'm his mother, sir. Oh, if he's done wrong, sir, who can blame him? He only wanted money for food and drink, sir.
But according to the evidence, he spent money on taking blondes out.
That's food and drink for me.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to be harsh. I'd like to find out the reason for this boy's downfall. Is the probation officer in court?
Yes, sir. Just this minute got here, sir. I'm very sorry I'm late, sir.
Mr. Edwards, did this happen because of drink or women?
Well, a bit of both, really. You see, the pub clock was slow, so by the time I'd run Flossie home, I hardly had a chance to sort of get here.
I mean the boy's downfall.
Oh.
I feel I should make an example of him.
Well, sir, I ask you in this case to show leniency. You, sir, have sat on a bench for 30 years. When you sit on a bench that long, it is easy to get a little callous. This boy, Tom, sir, he's a victim of circumstance. Let me tell you, sir, of the first time I had occasion to call on the family.
Oh, Tom, quick, tidy the room up. The probation officer's coming along the street. Oh, do help me clear up, dear. You push your father further under the table.
Probation officer, what are you sent for him for?
Well, I'm worried about you, Tom. You haven't got a job, and yet you come home with a gold-plated big limousine covered in gold stars.
I won it in a game of marbles. Look, Mum, why don't you leave me alone?
I'm doing all right.
Oh, Tom, I'm so worried about you, son. Don't you realise all I've got in the world is you and... what's his name?
Father?
Yes. Oh, let Mr. Edwards find you work, Tom. A nice, safe job.
We're doing a safe job tomorrow night. Look, Mum, I know what I'm doing. Oh, and I'm doing
dear.
It all...
Oh, dear, there's Mr. Edwards. Oh, quick, Tom. Tuck your pyjama jacket in and put your other boot on.
Mrs. Wiggins.
Oh, yes, sir.
Edwards, probation officer.
Oh, yes.
I got your message, so I thought I'd drop in now. I happen to be passing on my way to a boozer. A bishop. Oh.
Yes, sir. Well, do come in, Mr. Edwards, sir. Oh, I'm so worried. I'm having trouble with my Tom.
It's the spring, you know. Yeah. Yes. My advice to you, give it a couple of cod's heads and have a word with the vet. Yeah.
No, sir. I don't think you understand, sir. You see, Tom's my son, sir. That's him there.
Oh. Let's put my glasses on and have a look at the lad. Yes, well, I see no reason to alter my advice.
He won't work, sir. He's got in with a bad lot, and I'm afraid he's going to the bad.
From the look of him, he's been and come back again. Tom, old chap, yeah. I want to help you, but I can only help you if you're willing to help yourself.
He's done nothing else but help himself, so that's what all the trouble's about in
Please,
the first
now,
place.
Mrs. Figgins,
I'm
may
sorry,
I?
Sir.
This is my task. Tom, I can find you employment. Congenial employment. Now, what sort of a job would you like, eh? Come on, Tom, help me. You know what you can do.
And you know what you can do.
Son.
Look, Edwards, you're wasting your time. Only mugs work.
Very well, Tom, but remember this. As you butter your bread, so shall you lie on it. Goodbye, Tom. And so you see, Your Honor, I failed to turn Tom aside from the folly of his ways.
I should have listened to Fatty, sir. I've been a mug. But if you let me off, I'll go straight. I'll join one of the services. The National Health Service.
Very well. I shall not send you to prison. I shall put you on probation to Mr. Edwards.
Oh, bless you, sir. Bless you. Oh, I'm so relieved. I don't know what I'm doing.
I do. Get your hand out of the poor box, dear. Come along, Tom. Well, our little human experiment worked. In no time, Tom had a fine job with British Railways. They made him the official who keeps the fire out in the waiting room.
Right, and what's more, I felt a new pride and confidence in myself. Whenever Mr. Edwards called to check up, I could hold my head high in the air.
I say, Tom, that's a good trick. Now put it on again.
Now, Tom, dear, make Mr. Edwards welcome. Offer him a glass of something.
Well, we've only got Epsom salts, but you're more than welcome, sir.
Not before sundown, thank you. Tom, I'm proud of the change in you. You're still behaving yourself, aren't you?
Oh, he's a good boy now, sir. Brings home the wages every week.
All the wages, Tom?
As many as I can get.
Tom, I'm so glad that my trust in you was not misplaced. As a token of my pleasure, I want to give you a 10-shilling note.
Oh, no, sir, now, please, now, don't no, deserve
I'm
it.
Not, I want to... It's curious... Where's my wallet? I could have sworn it was in my left-hand pocket.
No, it was in the hip pocket. Goodbye, sir, and thanks for everything.
I was well content. And as I walked away from that mean street, I stopped in front of a plate glass window and reflected. Perhaps Tom's case could act as a detergent to others. So to all young people, let me give you this lesson drawn from my own experience. If you are under 17 and you are in doubt, there's only one thing to do. Twist. Good night, all.
Guy Danes and the Augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards. encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield and the keynotes. David Dunhill was the announcer, Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the programme was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in next week and...